Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Comedian and actress Charlene Yee set off on a quest to understand love. 23 years old, she toured the country as a fictionalized version of herself in her new faux documentary, Paper Heart. She asks other couples how they knew they had found love and asks herself if it would ever have happened to her. This hour on Point, Charlene Yee and actor Jake Johnson on finding your soulmate and their new film, Paper Heart. You can join the conversation. Have you been on your own quest to understand love? What have you learned about love and lasting commitments from your own relationships? You can also comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. In Paper Heart, Charlene Yee interviews a full cast of characters about love. Here, she talks to actor Seth Rogen.
I've never been in love, ever, so I'm not sure if I'm capable of it.
Well, why do you think that you would be someone who wasn't capable of it? You're a very loving person.
That's what you think.
You're dedicated to creative things. There's passion inside you. Your love glass is half full.
Joining me now from New York City is Charlene Yee, writer, stand-up comedian, actress, musician. She played the girlfriend of one of Seth Rogen's friends in Judd Apatow's 2007 film, Knocked Up. She is executive producer of the new faux documentary, Paper Heart, which comes out tomorrow, in which she plays a fictionalized version of herself. Paper Heart won Sundance top honors for screenwriting this year. And also with me from New York is Jake Johnson. He plays director Nick Jesovics in the new film Paper Heart, who is the real-life director of the film. Jake and Charlene, welcome to both of you.
Hey, Jane.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you. So, Charlene, what was your vision for this film? What's the question that you set out to answer in this movie?
I think it's strange because part of me really did want to make a documentary, and then for the purposes of the film, I think the character's opinion was a bit different from mine. So I think for the purpose of the film, I think we were just trying to capture true love stories and see the different variations of love of what it meant to other people. Like for instance, the bikers, like to them, love is, you know, who they hang out with. And their family is, you know, at the bar. And it's interesting to see the different types of love.
So here's a clip. You mentioned the bikers in the bar. You traveled around the country talking to different kinds of people about love. Here's that biker bar in Oklahoma City where the customers tell you that they found love among friends.
It's a love that's better than family. Because most
better
of my family's here. Thanksgiving dinner is here. Christmas dinner is here.
And that's true love right there.
Yeah, we love each other.
Love is here.
Sometimes we can't stand each other, but we love each other.
We fight. That's one another, but we all love
Bring
one another.
Yeah,
I love you.
So that's the kind of love you need to know.
Love to other people that don't know bikers is different.
Yeah.
Charlene, did you find that most people were anxious to speak with you about their experiences, their own experiences with love and relationships?
Yeah, I feel like everyone was really proud of their stories, and because I was unsure about love, they were so eager to shed their knowledge with me.
Was there a common thread, a common theme in the stories that you heard?
I don't know. Do you think there was a common theme?
Besides love?
I guess everybody has their own take on it. Some people have been hurt by love. Other people like to fall in love. Doesn't last.
What we kind of noticed was that people were surprisingly open to share. Mm. And I think that had a lot to do with Miss Charlene Yee being the person asking them. But we would go into people's houses and they would really open up about their lives in pretty remarkable ways. After just meeting us for 30 minutes and not quite knowing what we were trying to do with this movie. Because we could have made him look really bad.
Yeah, here's
you
one
example. If we edited it weird.
Here's one example of what you're saying from my perspective watching the movie. Here's a fellow from Nashville, Tennessee, Mike Mordack. He's divorced. And he's telling you, Charlene, about the woman he wished he'd married.
True love is a whole different thing. That only comes once in a while. Once in a lifetime, I think.
Have you had that?
Yes, I have.
Was that with your ex-wife?
No. As a matter of fact, it was, it must be like 20 years ago. But every time I hear her name, immediately the image of her pops in my head. And I get those little butterflies and everything like that.
Charlene Yee, what struck you about that fellow's story?
I thought it was so interesting because it was like a three-part story where he first mentions his ex-wife and then how he lost her. And then he goes into the one that got away. But then he also talks about a story how he had a near-death experience and he saw his ex-wife. And it was interesting. It felt like we captured something, like he had like an epiphany sort of, like where he was like, you know, I was in love with the one that got away. But then while he's talking, I think he had a realization that maybe his true love was his ex-wife and he didn't have such a good grasp of who that the one was.
You know, as I listened to Mike, that fellow in Nashville, and the other people in the film that you interviewed, their stories were real. But Paper Heart is a faux documentary. What is a faux documentary, and what is this?
The faux part of it comes that everything with Charlene, Michael, and my character as Nick Jasenovic, all that was scripted out. And everything with the documentary, from the kids to the bikers to the psychic, all that was real. So the term faux documentary has been kind of thrown on it as of lately, but I think we kind of like it because it's almost what it feels like. There's just a movie within a documentary or a documentary within a movie. But
so it's up to me as the viewer to sort of figure out the difference. Is that part of what keeps you on your toes as you're watching?
Yeah, hopefully. We jump in anytime you want, Missy.
Pretty open about what's real and what's not. I think it's interesting if someone went into the film blindly, not knowing what was real and what wasn't, and maybe because they sensed that things were real, that maybe there was more weight and they were more invested in the film. And then at the end, you know, the credits kind of give away that, you know, it's written by, and Jake is played Nick Jasenovic is played by Jake Johnson, so it's kind of like, you know, the ride's over, and hopefully I don't know, there's more meaning behind.
You got to keep up. It gets a little confusing, right?
I know Nick, the director, really wanted the tone of the stuff with Charlene, Michael, and myself to feel as real as we could make it. So even though it is a movie, it wasn't too jarring to go from documentary to the narrative.
And what narrative there was improvised, what, with 5 pages of scripted outline? That's all it was?
Yeah. It was very stressful. We would meet the morning of, and we would just hammer out, like, talk about beat by beat what the scene would be and hopefully nail it. And if not, then we would have to, you know, after we tried the scene and it didn't work, we'd have to reconvene and talk more.
It was kind of a fun way to do, like, writers' meetings, because we would all wake up before the crew and have a really rough idea, but we'd be in an interesting city that we would want to shoot scenes in. Mm-hmm. So we'd come up with as much as we could, because once the crew came, their mission is just to set up shots as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So we almost had to keep coming up with ideas to keep up with the crew.
Speaking of interesting cities, here's a clip from your trip to Las Vegas, where you, Charlene, interview in your film Paper Heart, an Elvis impersonator. He's a justice of the peace there at a little church in Vegas.
2 weeks ago, a guy comes in. He goes, "Elvis, come here." He calls me up to the front. He goes, I go, "Where's your bride?" He goes, "In the bathroom." He goes, "But come here, I got a problem." I go, "What's the problem?" He goes, "I don't know her last name." I said, "You don't know whose last name?" He's like, "My bride." I said, "You don't know her last name." I said, "How long have you been together?" When I saw him look at his watch, I thought, here we go. He goes, "About 2.5 hours. I said, "Sir, that's a minor detail. You learn that on the honeymoon. Right now, you get married, and you deal with the small stuff like the last name later, you know. As long as the check clears, hey, thank you very much."
Some of the best stories come from those Vegas wedding chapels, don't they?
Yeah.
I love his who, hey, yeah. Pop.
He truly was the king, man. He was great.
Yeah. What from his story most interested you, Charlene?
I liked how blunt he was about things, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like sometimes people don't allow themselves to be just generally honest on screen. They try to seem sweet. And I think he did come off sincere, and it wasn't mean what he said, but I like that he's very aware of the situation of the chapel.
Charlene, did you initially resist becoming a character in the movie?
Yeah, the idea before was just that we were going to capture true love stories, and there was not going to be a narrative. So he thought it'd be more interesting if there was an arc and a narrative. And I think I was scared to go on as myself. So we'd have to create a character named Charlene.
So as an actor, is it easier or more difficult to play sort of a faux version of yourself? I'm trying to get that.
It's easier to play a character because I feel like it's less vulnerable. Like if it was real, instead of having a narrative, like if I was really, you know, dating on screen, it'd be very uncomfortable. I don't think I would be able to do it. I think it'd feel contrived to try to have a relationship for the film. And so it was easier having to act than be myself.
Jake Johnson, what was the takeaway of this film for you, Paper Heart? I mean, what did you sense and feel about what other people were saying about love and your own feelings of it yourself?
I think what I took away from it was kind of a great adventure. And I've realized that at this stage, because Charlotte and I talk about how we're still kind of doing Paper Heart, because Paper Heart really felt like when we were doing it this... I think there's music coming on.
That's okay. Finish your sentence.
Oh.
James is doing his job.
It just felt like a great adventure that is, we've been lucky that's still happening.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the new film Paper Heart, which comes out tomorrow. We're speaking with Charlene Yee, writer, stand-up comedian, actress, musician. She played the girlfriend of one of Seth Rogen's friends in Judd Apatow's 2007 film Knocked Up. She's the executive producer of the new faux documentary Paper Heart, which comes out tomorrow, in which she plays a fictionalized version of herself. And Jake Johnson is also with us. He plays the director in the new movie. Here's a scene from the film. A scientist whom you interviewed, Charlene, at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. He's explaining love to you.
You know, I'd also want to be careful not to get so scientific that we forget about just the pure joy and maybe the mystical aspects of love, that there is something there. There may be evolutionary mechanisms, and there certainly are biochemical mechanisms, but somehow there's a little bit of magic to it too.
A little bit of magic. Were you surprised by the scientific integration of all their thoughts into your storyline, Charlene?
Yeah, I remember that interview was about 2 hours, and then that was him wrapping it up, and I was so surprised with a turn in his opinion about love. And I remember actually getting chills when he said that, like the dramatic pause, and, you know, there's a little bit of magic to it. So one thing that I found interesting, I don't remember which scientist it was if it was a scientist or a biologist or what have you, but one of them was talking about not having the chemicals to process love. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that maybe, you know, like Hitler didn't have the chemicals. Like, what's that? Like Asperger's?
Asperger's.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's the proper thing, but like, it'd be crazy not to have the chemicals to actually feel love or compassion or sympathy. I can't even imagine.
Well, I actually remember, tell me if I'm wrong here, but Charlene, didn't you express some concern yourself in the film about actually having those chemicals? I mean, what I was so touched in the movie was your vulnerability in expressing your own experience and as a 23-year-old, you know, not so much experience with love.
Yeah, I questioned it. I think it kind of scared me when he said it, and then I was also excited that you said that because I was like, I don't know. I thought it'd be good for the documentary if it was a possibility. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
Was it difficult to express that vulnerability, Charlene?
I think I think, you know, the documentary segments of the film, I can't help but, like, react and be myself. I know, like, Jake has witnessed me, like, I'm, like, transparent. Like, if I'm sad or happy, like, you can see it completely. It's I don't know, I'm, like, ridiculous. I'm, like, a cartoon.
There was an interview she was doing, it was one of my favorite moments, but she was interviewing him, and every interview she would take about 2 hours to do the interview for like a minute and a half in the movie. But we were there, so we wanted to get everything we could get. And the interview was going really well. It was about 45 minutes in, and then there was just a lull. And she kind of asked all the questions, and they gave good answers, but we still had about an hour. And you could tell she started getting nervous. And so she said out loud to herself, "Think fast, think fast, think fast, think fast." And I thought it was really funny that rather than just thinking fast, like a cartoon, she said it out loud.
And I think, you know, with the people, they were vulnerable because they were being so genuine and sincere. So, I mean, I wanted to, you know, act the same as well, like just be myself and hopefully have them feel comfortable to opening up to me. So.
Also, in terms of the what the scientist said, and it's something that I haven't talked about in the interviews yet, and we haven't really got into him yet, but I do think there is really something, there is a certain magic to it all. And I did feel that during the making of the movie. And I think that's maybe something that people opened up about, that whatever that glue is that holds people together, it's really hard to actually define what that is. Mm. But what it is seems to be worth fighting for. Like there was a couple in Atlanta, the Edelsteins, and their whole thing was nobody can replace what we've had together in terms of our memories, and that is worth fighting for. And I think that might be that kind of magic or that glue that holds people together.
From Atlanta to Amarillo, Texas in the film, I want to play a clip from Paper Heart here. This is a woman named Sally Emerson, and you interviewed her, Charlene, for your documentary. She talked about how she knew her husband, Don Emerson, was the one.
It was a downpour in Houston, and I was at the courthouse. I was wearing a pair of Gucci loafers that I had just purchased the weekend before. I was just devastated because I had parked several blocks away from the courthouse, and I had to leave, and it was pouring down rain. And I remember Don saying, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." He goes, "You just wait right here." And he said, "I'll be right back." He went and got in his car, which was a Jeep, and he drove it up onto the plaza in front of the Family Law Courts building in Houston and drove up under the porch. And so he opened the door and said, "Hop in." And I just walked dry under the porch, got in his Jeep, and we drove off, and he took me to my car. And I thought, now that's cool. Who would drive up on downtown Houston up onto the plaza of the Family Law Courts building? And I thought, you know what? I think I'll better stick with him.
If that's not love, I don't know what is. Driving up out of the porch of the law building. Charlene, what was your take on the Emerson couple?
I really love them. They are great. I was just thinking right now when I was listening to that clip of how this is so silly, but when you like really like or love someone, you know, you do like ridiculous things, like you try to woo them by like, you know, taking a chance and like getting into your truck and picking someone up from it's so interesting how when you have that feeling and you're like, I can do anything, I don't care, like I'm just gonna do it. It'll make me look cool. That'll impress them. I thought that was interesting, but I really enjoyed them because, you know, they're one of the people who were like, you know, sometimes it's worth fighting for, and I think they've seen so many divorces and people calling it quits just because there's a little bump in the road, and I think they really, it made them appreciate, you know, their relationship because they'd seen so many divorces and they realized how lucky they were to have each other. I really enjoyed them.
I have a lot of calls. A lot of listeners want to get in here. Let me go first to Boston. Kathleen is on the line. Kathleen, welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 25 when I found my soulmate, and I was at the lowest point a person could be at that time. I was actually in a psychiatric hospital and really not thinking I would find anything, especially not love. And when my partner walked into the room, I just knew it instantly. Fell absolutely in love, and we've been together for 20 years now, and we both
wow.
sort of brought ourselves up from the bottom. Love is so much more than magical. It like heals what you think can't be healed.
Hmm.
And I never Kathleen. Thought I could sustain a relationship.
Ah, interesting. You heard that a lot in your film, Charlene. A lot of people never thought that they could do it. I mean, were most experiences hopeful? Were most of the interviews that you did hopeful when it came to love?
I think so. We were doing this scene on the street, and it was actually like an acting scene where Jake's character was kind of like, you know, what you've been learning from the interviews. And along the walk, we ran into this homeless couple, and they're like, "What are you shooting here?" And we're like, "Oh, a documentary about love." And they're saying how their love, you know, they were like falling apart, and they had no hope at all, just on the street, and they found each other, and their love, you know, made them survive. And
yeah, without trying to sound cheesy, their idea was that their love saved each other's lives because it was something to kind of fight to stay alive for and to keep pushing forward.
Here's a clip from a longtime married couple, Mary Beth and Sid Hardy. They live in Oklahoma City. And in this clip in the movie, they're talking about how much they gained from falling in love at an early age.
I think the young love can sometimes be the most important. I know that many of people now are waiting until later to get married, but I think you lose something. We could have chose not to marry before he went to college, but waiting 5 years would have lost much of the magnetism that we had for each other. I'm not advising everyone to get married at 17.
Yeah.
But it can work.
It's sure not for everybody. We had a lot of friends who got married younger who they didn't work out for, but it did for us.
They're the Hardys, married at 17. Their notion of young love and their experience with young love brings me back to you, actually, Charlene. As a 23-year-old making a documentary about love, what were your own notions about love going into this film?
I don't think I have that much relationship history, so I think it was a bit more naive and blind going into this, I suppose. I think I was, you know, the whole inspiration was kind of like my confusion of what love was and how do you know if it lasts and the uncertainties of love, and I think that's how I felt going in. But then after talking to all these people, I realized, you know, everything in life is uncertain, and there's a bit of security in that, you know. And I don't know, talking to everyone, everyone's so inspirational, and you couldn't help but feel involved with these people and their stories.
Here's a clip, again, from Paper Heart, an exchange between you, Charlene, and you, Jake, about your own feeling, Charlene, about love when you were a young girl.
So you say you don't believe in love now, but have you always felt that way?
I believed in it when I was a kid, but then again, all my ideas about love kind of came from movies and fairy tales. And as I grew up, I realized that life is nothing like that.
Jake Johnson, do you share Charlene's views? Life's not quite like the movies and the fairy tales?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I guess it also depends on the movies. yeah, but for sure.
You like Annie Hall.
I loved Annie Hall. I think the movies that I like, the romantic movies I love, like Annie Hall, the thing I like about it is that they're not together in the end, but they're still happy that they dated. And at least for me, I'm a little bit older than Charlene. I'm 57. I'm
He's
just joking.
Not.
But the reason I love that movie so much is I've had relationships in the past where people, I really loved them, and I think that love was real and it ended, but I'm still really glad we dated and had that time together. And I like when movies can show that you might not stay together, but it's still a great love story for the time you had.
Back to the phones, to Randolph, Massachusetts. Molly's on the line. Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say that I think that this is a really good idea, this movie, because we have this sort of idolized vision of love. You know, we don't really know what it means. We just have this ideal. And to go around and get all the different perspectives from around the country about what different people think about love and what, you know, it means to each individual, it's a good way to get a definition of love, you know, sort of a conglomeration of all the different opinions. So that's all I wanted to say.
All right, Molly, thank you.
There's
a fan already.
I think we agree with you, Molly.
Hey, Charlene, is it true you wrote the music for this film?
I co-wrote it with Michael Cera and Alden Penner and Zach Condon from a band called Beirut contributed a song as well. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
I think the music's really nice.
I actually have a clip of it, you guys. Charlene, you were on Late Night with Conan O'Brien on Monday. And Michael Cera, whom yet we've not spoken of, has been rumored to be your real-life boyfriend. He was not in the audience. I'll ask you about him in a minute. But you focused the attention on another audience member for a very special serenade. Here it is.
This is kind of a sad song. It's about my boyfriend breaking up with me.
Your boyfriend broke up with you?
Yeah, but, you know, what can you do about it? Write a song about it.
Yeah.
Invite him to the show and try to win him back.
Yeah. Oh, is he here?
I certainly hope so. This is for you.
Okay.
I didn't write any words, because the truth is, no words could express how much I miss you.
Ah, they're clapping in the control room. So let's get to Michael Cera right now, Charlene. Get it out
right
of the
now.
Way. Yeah.
It's funny. I totally didn't even think about how there was rumors about us breaking up. So I didn't really think of that tying in.
So give us the background in the film. How does his character come into play?
He plays the romantic interest in the fictional narrative, not my real life. It's funny, we did cast him for the part, and we did list off a couple young actors, and we thought he'd be best for it. So, he plays the romantic interest in the film.
Here's a scene where Nick is talking to, actually, Charlene is talking to Michael at the zoo. Here you go.
What's going on this weekend?
We're going to go eat and watch a movie.
You and Mike are going to go eat and watch a movie?
Yeah.
Just the two of you?
Yeah.
For real?
What?
That's awesome. You guys are going on a date.
No, it's not a date. We're just going to hang out and eat.
You guys are going to go eat, the two of you, and go see a movie, just the two of you, and that's not a date.
No, we eat and watch movies all the time.
That's different.
So, actually, that was you and Jake from the movie in that scene. So, the blogosphere is abuzz about the nature of your relationship with Michael Cera. Put the rumors to rest. I mean, how did the movie integrate into your real life, and where does it stand now?
Well, I think it's a great question, and I just think at this point we're just friends. You know, I think Mike and I shooting the movie was a blast, but, you know, the internet's gone crazy, and listen, we had one crazy weekend in Tahoe. And that's really between us.
You're trying to help out your friend, Charlene. I know you are. Charlene, take the microphone.
We're not friends. What can I say about Michael? Jeez Louise, what a heartbreaker, you know? Ouch, I eat you, wow. I don't know how I'm going to live with this one. I don't know. It's not, I don't know. People are strange. Why are people so invested in something? I think maybe they just want to believe in it, but... You know, let them believe whatever they want to believe, I guess.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the new faux documentary, Paper Heart. Paper Heart won Sundance Top Honors for screenwriting this year. We're speaking with Charlene Yee, writer, stand-up comedian, actress, musician. She played the girlfriend of one of Seth Rogen's friends in the 2007 film Knocked Up. She's executive producer of the new faux documentary Paper Heart. Comes out tomorrow. And Jake Johnson, also from the film. Let's go back to Paper Heart and to the story of Lois Sullivan. She talked about how she met and fell in love with her husband, Bob Sullivan, 50 years ago.
I didn't know that he was there until he bought that Harley. And it was the purr of the Harley that got me.
You know, I was there for 6 months before that with an old English bike. Never saw her, never heard anything.
So you guys out there, get a Harley. It's got a special sound to it that just gets right to the heart of the matter.
Those other bikes just didn't do it. It was that Harley that really got Lois's heart, huh? What did you hear in their story, Charlene?
What did I hear in their story?
Yeah. What touched you about their particular story?
I don't know. I think it was interesting to hang out with them pre the story and see how they interacted with one another and how much she talked. They were great. He just burped. I don't know.
Something about that 50 years of love kind of strikes you when you're watching them. Actually, for me, it did on screen. Let's go back to the phone. Sarasota, Florida. Laurel's on the line. Laurel, welcome to On Point.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I look forward to seeing Paper Heart. I have two thoughts. The first one, I was married fairly young to a young man with whom I was passionately in love. The hormones were hot and heavy.
Oh, yeah.
And the natural process took place. 3 children later, I realized that I didn't like him very much. I had loved him, but the liking part never happened. And when I then got a divorce, I became very much aware of a person from whom I had been buying appliances for a couple of decades at that point, a nice guy who I really liked. We got a relationship going, and the love developed after this friendship had been established. So I have, bottom line, I have a feeling that you need to really like your lover as well as love him or her. Mm. And the second thought, I love the little part of Elvis in Las Vegas. My son and his wife were married in Las Vegas about 15 years ago by Elvis on the Strip. He was a delightful entertainer. And the wedding march consisted of Elvis belting out Fool's Rush In. It was just perfect.
All right, Laurel, thank you. Thanks so much for the call, for the memories. A familiar theme that liking is more important than loving. I heard that in
we
the
did,
film.
We actually did an interview with a couple that said it's actually all about the like.
Right.
And they said that the most important thing about a long relationship is liking them even more than having like passion towards them, because they end up truly being your best friend. And if you don't like your best friend, you don't want to hang out with them.
Here's Bob in Naples, Florida. Hi, Bob. Welcome to On Point.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess I'd have to disagree a little bit.
Okay.
I'm a 60-plus year old guy, and
well,
I've been involved in some long-term relationships. But I think true love really is mystical. If you can explain it, you're not really crazy in love, which after 60 years, I think I am. And
so what's the secret sauce, Bob? How do you keep that mystical love going from your own experience?
Well, I'm a landscaper, and I know what it takes. It takes fertilizer. you gotta pay attention. Mm. And in this crazy world, we often let the little things get in the way of things that are everything.
Yep.
And I'm not going to do that again.
Bob, thank you. Did you hear that in the film, Charlene?
Yeah, there is a brief moment in a montage of this couple, the Edelsteins, and they're saying, you know, love is really worth fighting for, and, you know, I think they kind of touch base about the little things, not letting that get in the way, and that, you know, no one could ever replace that person and those memories and that history that you share with that person. And it was kind of just reassuring that, you know, it's nice that people are, you know, they're in there for the long run.
Here's another call from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Sybil is on the line. Sybil, welcome to On Point. Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Uh-huh. I wanted to share a very sweet story that just happened in my family. A week ago, I got a call from my 80-year-old father, happily married since 43 years. His wife, my mother, is, however, with Alzheimer's demented since 10 years. Since 5 years, she doesn't know anymore who he is, while he still lovingly takes care of her. And he informed me just a week ago, basically asking for permission, that he has fallen head over heels for a widow who went through the same experience with her now deceased husband. She's 70 years old, and they are apparently, I haven't met her yet, like teenagers. He quoted, he said, there are more butterflies in my belly than there are in the Amazon, and it doesn't matter if you're 20 years old or if you're 80. If it hits you, it hits like full-blown. And he basically asked me and my brother for permission if it would be okay for him to fall in love, even though our mother is still alive.
And what did you say? What was your reaction?
Well, this is a thought that obviously never crosses your mind, so I was absolutely not prepared, but I instantly was thrilled for him because, you know, we have witnessed the change in our family. You know, it is a very loveless home. It is a very hard job to be there for a partner who does not recognize you anymore. And, you know, in the extreme cases of Alzheimer's, it can be a very violent and aggressive relationship with the patient. And for him to basically hear his voice happy, and he's a very vivacious person that he goes to concerts by himself, he goes to travels by himself, he goes to lectures on his own, and to have basically found a partner who is equally happy about life. And, you know, in this case, she's 70 and she's alone since 3 years. To know that this is possible and for him to be happy was just, for me personally, I'm so happy, and I can't wait to meet this lady, my brother.
Sybil, thank you very much. I really appreciate your call. Here's another call from Hartford, Connecticut. Lori's on the line. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Jane. Hi. Yes, I was just calling, and this sounds like such a wonderful movie. I can't wait to try to figure out where it's going to play in the Hartford, Connecticut area. But I have my own personal, totally believe in true love, especially love at first sight, and they were talking about that chemistry. And my husband and I met in 1986. We were set up on a blind date and fell madly in love. 2 weeks, he was still in high school, and 2 weeks after we met, he asked me to marry him. I said, no, you have to graduate high school. He graduated high school. He went on a school trip. It was at an all-boys school. Went on a school trip to Europe, and he came back with a ring, and he asked me to marry him again. I said, no. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, okay, well, I have plans. I have goals in life. I want to graduate college. I said, you know, so we dated all through college, and when we were close to the end of our college career, he asked my father first my hand in marriage and then me, and I said yes that time, and we've been together since then.
Ah, congratulations. That's a wonderful story, Lori. Thank you. Lori's call, Charlene Yee, brings me to the question of, back to your movie. I mean, this is not a big summer blockbuster by Hollywood standards, but what are your expectations for the movie? Are people like Lori going to be able to see it in theaters in places like Hartford?
It's I think it's coming out to 40 theaters first to see how it does. I surely hope people go out to see it. I don't know how many people are going to attend, and I hope those people enjoy the film.
I think it really does depend. We have 40 theaters
on tomorrow,
and then a week after we have, I think, 85 theaters. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there's one. It's a little bit bigger.
Well,
and it depends.
I think each week it depends on how well it does. For the next, and if they're going to open bigger.
So we need your help. Go see Paper Heart, please.
Entertainment Weekly actually wrote a story about Paper Heart. They said it is ushering in a sort of intelligent teen comedy comeback this summer. Obviously, it's not just for teens, but what do you make of that?
That's sweet of them to say so. I like good compliments about our film. I don't think it's necessarily for teens. I think, you know, I mean, the only young people in the film are me and Michael and Jake, and you know, everyone else, I think, mostly are they're different ages, much older than us. So I think it's not necessarily age limited. I think, you know, love is for everyone.
Let's go to Roanoke, Virginia. Philip is on the line. Hi, Philip. Welcome to On Point.
Yes. How are you doing?
Hi. Well, go ahead.
My 52 years, it seems to me that one of the main problems that people have whenever they start looking for true love is that they don't really love themselves. they're looking for somebody else to provide happiness for them, and they're not happy with themselves to start off with. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a whole lot easier if you learn to like who you are before you start trying to add somebody else to the equation.
Philip, I appreciate your call and your thoughts. Good luck to you, sir. Here's Gaz in Tallahassee, Florida. Gaz, welcome to On Point. Hello.
Hi, I'm glad to let you know that true love is out there and you absolutely can seize it, but it does test you. You know it's true love if you're able to put it all on the line. And like the previous caller said, making that decision requires you to get to know yourself. In exactly 1 week, I'll be putting it all on the line. I'm going to Brazil. I've bought my significant other a trip to go to Brazil and meet me at this place. We've been in this long-distance, crazy international love affair, and we're absolutely going to throw it out there. And let me tell you, it's not without some serious risk.
Well, good luck, well, Gus.
Yeah,
good luck.
I hope it works out.
Let's go back to the film. Here's another clip. Charlene, you're on the playground. This is a great scene in Georgia, I think. A young boy, probably 7 or 8 years old, has given you some advice about love.
What would your advice be for someone who isn't sure if they're in love and will find love?
Well, I would say take a minute and look at your life. Look at the person that you think likes you. Find out for yourself.
All right.
What did those other children on the playground that day tell you, Charlene?
Wasn't there that hot wings line?
Yeah.
That the best perfect date is going to Applebee's and getting hot wings. I love how simple it is for them, you know? I think, you know, like some of my favorite dates are like just, you know, going to like Taco Bell and, you know, enjoying the company. It's not really where you are. It's who you're with. Yeah.
Do you remember that day, Jake?
I do. That day was a crazy one because we had a couple kids planned to for Charlene to interview. But when we got there was a bunch of kids, and you can't really put a camera out and exclude kids. They kind of won't allow it. So the real director just said, like, all right, Charlene, just go play. And we're going to start filming. And so we had about 2 hours of complete madness where kids were tackling Charlene and there was like a huge tickle war. And I was just going in and out of the scenes as Nick to try to keep it on story. And the kids were just, you know, really insightful, but also just really kids. And that the young man you're talking about, David, the boy with blonde hair, just gave such great insights over and over again.
Yeah, it really was a great scene. Let's get a couple more calls in here. Allentown, Pennsylvania is where Carol is. Hello. Carol, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Hi, go ahead.
Allentown.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I was just listening on the radio to this movie that I'm looking forward to seeing, but I wanted to share with you a love story that I've had in my life since I was 17 years old, and it's a story of reconnection. I loved a man from the time I was 17, met him in a college course, and I was in high school and he was in college, and he went off, and I, you know, did what I had to do, and we reconnected every once in a while through the years. We had both married, and finally reconnected through the internet, through classmates.com, although we were not in the same high school, him being much older than 4 years older than myself. We reconnected, and I knew immediately, you know, that I still loved him, just from the words on the paper, and you know, things were shared, finally after 35 years that hadn't been shared through the years, and now we've reconnected. It's wonderful. So,
and you're getting married soon, I hear, my producer tells me.
Yeah, we will be. We will be doing that, it's just been wonderful to reconnect with somebody who you, I think that the first loves are just incredibly strong. Hmm. And, you know, having had actually 3 years to find out if it really was true love, which we have.
Well, good luck. Good luck to you, Carol. I appreciate your calling. All the best. Here's another call from Beth. She's in Arlington, Massachusetts. Hi, Beth. Welcome to On Point.
Hi. How are you?
Wow.
I love the show today. I just wanted to comment about how love doesn't necessarily need to be difficult, that it's not about the roses and the champagne. It's about the simple laughing. And that my husband and I, who are about to celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary We got married when we were 23, and I can still say that I'm madly in like with him, that he still makes me laugh more than anybody else in the world. That, you know, just going out to get a sandwich at Panera is what helps the relationship bloom and continue to bloom year after year. It doesn't need to be these complicated dates.
It's a gift. It's a gift, Beth, and I appreciate your calling. Thanks.
It might also have something to do with Panera. That is a delicious sandwich.
So, Charlene Yee, Jake Johnson, you're both young, but this movie is very poignant in many ways. Paper Heart. Did you come to any conclusion yourselves about love in the process of making this film, Charlene?
I covered this earlier, just about my naiveness about what am I saying? Uncertainties of love, and I think just accepting that kind of was reassuring, and I think love is to me, you know, washing clothes with someone and just enjoying the simple moments and the mundane things. I think, you know, if you can enjoy each other's company, that's what matters.
Charlene Yee and Jake Johnson, thanks very much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
Paper Heart is the film. It opens this week. It won Sundance top honors for screenwriting this year. Appreciate your time, both of you. Good luck. You can continue the conversation. Listeners, get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point.